Praise the Lord. So glad to be here with you all this evening. Lord is good. Praise the Lord. Amen. Appreciate you all. Altogether lovely, especially in the Lord's sight. Amen. While you're standing, if you would please grab your Bibles. And musicians, thank you so much. I appreciate you very much and all you do. I've heard a lot of music departments, different ones around the country, and I think we're spoiled, quite frankly. I really appreciate what the Lord has done for us. Okay, Hebrews, please, chapter 11. Very familiar scripture to us. Amen. Verse 5. Y'all find it. I'm still looking for it. Amen. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, for this time to gather around your word. Your word is precious to us, O God. We thank you, Lord, for each one, Father, as everyone has come, Lord. We come for this purpose, Lord, not to be seen. Father, we've come, Lord, that we want to hear not from me, Lord, we want to hear from you tonight. And Lord, though I know I'm insufficient, I know I don't have much ability at all, Father, but you have ways to multiply the fishes and the loaves. And even the small amount, Lord, you can make it significant, and you can make it applicable to our lives. And somehow, Lord, just raise us higher. That's what we pray, Father, that you put us on a higher plane tonight, Lord. Cause us, oh God, just to be more sincere before you, Father, that we may, Lord, further ready ourselves, for we hear the combine coming. And Lord, so we present ourselves tonight, each one of us, both speaker and hearer, and say, Lord, have your way. Glorify yourself, oh God, as only you can. Grant it, Lord. Father, we commit everyone to your hands for your praise and glory. We ask this in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I'd like to start out with a quote. Well, let me just talk first of all. Obviously, you know, we're very concerned by the saints. You know, all the flooding and everything, the devastation that has gone on in the states there. You know, first up through Florida, Georgia, and South Carolina, but particularly North Carolina and Tennessee. A lot of devastation, a lot of homes destroyed. I don't even know. Anyone hear the latest death count at all? Anywhere? It's a lot of people. Certainly over 1,000. And they're still finding bodies. There's a lot of things, a lot of nefarious things going on, too. We're hearing Satan's afoot. Amen? Satan's afoot. But we don't fear anything that Satan does. He's a bluff. He's a liar. Amen? And now we got another storm coming in. That's coming bearing down on Florida. And we know there's a lot of saints in Florida. There's a lot of churches. Category 5. Surge 15 feet. You know, I'm hearing all this. And now, well, maybe 10, maybe 9 feet surge, maybe 6 feet. I think last time I checked, it was about 90 miles an hour. Praise the Lord. A lot of praying saints. Amen. Isn't God wonderful? He's absolutely wonderful. Another little testimony, too, please, if before I begin. Brother Donnie Reagan's church, I mean, that whole area, the Tri-State area, they really got hit hard. Elizabethton, maybe you've seen some videos of floods just coming in and just washing houses away and so forth. And my heart immediately went to them, to their congregation. A lot of them live in Elizabethton, in that Tri-State area. But none of the saints' houses have been destroyed at all. Isn't that wonderful? The most that happened was just a little water on somebody's floor that they could wipe up with a towel. So you just say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I don't know if any saints anywhere, their homes have been destroyed. I've not heard. But I know this. Every one of our lives are in his hands. Amen? And he's got a purpose. I did hear of, you know, some saints a while ago. They had their house taken by a tornado, you know? But even in that, I believe God had a purpose. I believe that there was a healing that needed to happen in their lives. Something very devastating happened in their lives. You know, they lost a child. And they left the room just exactly how it was, just exactly what it was. They didn't dust, they don't, just exactly how it was, you know, when he died, okay? So a shrine, if you would, was erected. And I think we ourselves would be tempted to do that. You know, our love for our children is just that great. But the Lord doesn't want us to be attached back there. He doesn't want any trinkets, anything. Even Jesus didn't leave anything like that. He wanted us to look forward. He wanted us to look up. There is a greater reality in that dimension over there that he wants that our eyes to gaze upon. And they know that their child is over there. They know that their child is waiting for them when they go, you know. And what the Lord does, even in the pain that he allows in his wisdom to afflict upon us, he does it with loving hands. He does it because he's got something in mind for us. Amen. He wants us, he wants to purify us, if you would. His blood has already made us pure, but he wants us to let go of anything in this life, anything at all that's hindering us, so that we can grab a hold of pure faith. Amen. So we truly can be conformed to his image. Amen. Praise the Lord. So all that's happening all around us, God has got a purpose in it. Amen. He's in control. He really is. We say that a lot, and we believe that a lot. Amen. Praise God. I want to start out with this quote, if I may. This was in Seed Is Not Air with a Shuck. Paragraph 39. Dear Jesus, author of life, and you are that word, we solemnly now approach thee after the explaining of the vision. That God, you bear me record that is true. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll anoint the words tonight to the hearing of every ear that's under the divine sound. And if there be some here or listening in or across the nation, if they are not ready and prepared at this hour to meet the challenge of the hour, the message from God to repent and to be ready, for the kingdom of God is nearing. We pray that it'll be so tonight with them, that they will hear this hour's challenge, that they will meet this hour's challenge. Amen. Brother Branham said that in 1965. So what I'd like to talk about tonight, I'd like to entitle this, is This Hour's Challenge to Come on Higher. Amen? Amen. So when he was bringing, you know, the seed is not air with the shuck, he was talking about that there's a message from the Lord to repent and to be ready, for the kingdom of God is nearing. The kingdom of God is nearing. And where is the kingdom of God coming? It's nearing where? It's in here. It's nearing. It's growing in us. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? We have to get to that realization that he is in us. You know, even Brother Branham, when I think Brother Vail asked him the question, he says, now that we have the understanding, of the Godhead, to whom do we pray? And he said, pray to the God within you. That's quite a statement, isn't it? Not us. It's Jesus Christ himself dwelling there. And we are in the Laodicean age, which is lukewarm. Everything in this dimension is fighting us from entering right in to all that he has for us and he wants us to be. Amen. But that is exactly where he wants our attention. He says in John 15, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Unless you abide in me, you will not bear any fruit. Amen. He says, for without me, you can do nothing. We have to get that full understanding that he is dwelling inside of us. He says, so this is getting ready, right? Amen. A time to meet the challenge of the hour, the message of God, to repent and be ready, for the kingdom of God is nearing. That realization, amen, that Christ is living and he's dwelling inside of us. Amen. Praise the Lord. In that day you shall know that the Father and me, I and you and me, and Brother Branham said, that day is this day. Amen. Do you rehearse? I'm asking you, the challenge. Amen. This is the challenge of the hour. Kids, there is no age limit here.
Amen.
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 Amen. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Have you received the Holy Ghost into your hearts, into your life? Is that a reality to you? Do you feel the Lord drawing you, or do you feel distant? If you feel distant, amen, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, why is that? Because he wants you to take him at his word. He wants us to believe him, everything that he says. He wants us to believe him, to walk out and to grab a hold of his word, to hold to it, amen, and to take him at his word. Praise the Lord. Without him, it is impossible to please him, but he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So there is the answer. If you feel yourself distant, seek him. There is a promise that he has made. He offers out to every one of us. If we diligently seek him, amen, he will fill us. He will reward us. Amen. Praise the Lord. So this is the hour, the call to come higher. Amen. And if there'd be no Satan, it would be easy. But you got to understand that Satan is doing exactly his job. He's running subterfuge. He's very good job at running subterfuge. I mean, it's just flabbergasting how good he is. Honestly, we got all of heaven, God who's made everything, he's demonstrated himself over and over again. So what is it that the devil does that causes us to, you know, to lose sight, to draw our attention away from again and again? In so many ways, he gets in there and he distracts us. He's a great master distraction, sleight of hand. It's just unbelievable. Yet it is believable because we're all dealing with it. Every one of us, we all fight that. There's so many things there. And the thing of it is, Satan knows that his time is short. And he's pulling out all the stops. And that's things to realize, is that we are in a very serious time. Amen? And Satan is doing everything he can to do all that he can to distract us so that we fall short of what God has in mind for us. Amen? And we are not, the Bible says, ignorant of Satan's devices. Amen? We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. Amen. But we can see his footprint everywhere, Satan. He's working to divide nations and peoples. He's working to exhaust your resources, your time, your money, your energy, getting to where people can't even sleep at night, got every kind of aid there is possible to get people to get sleep. It's a problem. And we're the airwaves are just buzzed with all kinds of things that never used to be here at all. Maybe before the flood. Okay, I'll give you that. Because there's nothing new under the sun. I always believed, I haven't say always believed, as I come into the message and so forth and so on, that Noah could have built that ark out of a break big nuclear ship. The technology was there to do that. I believe that it was there. They have, sites of long runways that they see evidence of how things were. They say that Atlanta used to be, above the sea, but there was something and it went underneath, And they have evidence of more great civilization back then. And you look at, and this is an incredible one, you look at that pyramid. That was before the flood. How many knows a pyramid is before the flood, right? And you see a lot of civilizations around and all over Europe and so forth. And they're piled high. We excavate down, to find ruins further. And yet the pyramid is not sunk at all. How is that possible? I mean, that is just astounding to me. God giving testimony with that pyramid. And I always thought that the blocks were all the same size. They just kind of fit together real tight. You couldn't get a razor blade in them, et cetera, et cetera. Anybody ever see a close-up of the pyramid, the Great Pyramids? Yeah, they're all different sizes. And they're all, fitting together. It's amazing. We can't duplicate what they did with our technology today. So I believe with all my heart that they had greater technology back then than they do now. There isn't anything new under the sun. And the reason why Noah built a ship out of gopher wood is because God told him to. When everything else perished off the face of the earth and was destroyed, that gopher wood ark was the one thing that survived. Why was that? Is because it was the word of God. Amen. It was not only built according to the word of God, but God's hand was upon that ark. And who knows how many people that Noah tried to convince to get into the ark. And all that he was able to convince was Noah and his wives and sons. And that was it. It's an incredible thing. It's an incredible thing. The Lord is absolutely directing. I was talking to somebody, one of my a client, okay, an employee there. They work in IT, and I was talking with them, and he said the subject got up on Israel, And now here is Israel, and they're right in the middle of people that just don't like them. They don't want them there at all. Yeah, I know. I'm being very understated, quite purposefully. Yeah, I mean, they absolutely detest them. They want to obliterate them. They would never be happier than obliterate them. You go to these different places, and they don't even show Israel on their map. Don't even acknowledge that they're a nation. That is true. That is true. Don't even acknowledge that they're even there. So he, said, not that I want to deny the Jews a place to live, but why there? Why couldn't they, put them somewhere else? Why did they have to put them there? And I reminded him, I says, in World War II, when the Jews were killed in those ovens, in those death camps, and they wanted to put the Jews somewhere. They went to a number of doorsteps in different countries, and everybody turned them down. Even the United States had a ship right outside the port of New York, and they turned it down, did not allow that ship to land. There wasn't any place for those Jews to go. Amen. And of course, we know, you know, a lot of other things, a lot of other histories and so forth. We know that the Rothschilds, those wicked Rothschilds, were behind Israel getting settled into that land, the Jews getting settled into the land of Palestine, you know, as it was. And we know the history of that too, that when God allowed the Jews to be scattered out of Israel, they named that land, I mean, they totally obliterated the temple, and they named that land after their ancient foe, the Philistines, which there wasn't anybody there for 300 years, a people named Philistines anymore. They were gone. And just to kind of get a dig at them, we're going to call this thing Palestine. That's a true story, true history. And so they thought, we have taken care of the Jews. They will never settle in this land again. And that was the devil's intention. He's going to make sure that those Jews will never again settle in that area. Yes. Yes. They try to obliterate, right? Amen. But why? But God. But God. God said, I will gather you from the nations. That's what I told this guy here. They remember, they didn't have any place to go. Also, I want you to know this. I believe the word of God. I believe the Bible. The Bible is very clear that it said that God is going to gather his people. He's going to gather them and bring them back on the wings of eagles. How does that happen? They didn't have planes back there when the prophets, you know, when the prophet said that. But they were carried in on planes from other parts of the world. They came down from ships from all over the place. What was it? God was restoring it again. I will make the desert bloom again. Amen. Why is that? It's because God is faithful in his word. He said he will do it, and he did it. And we look at the nation of Israel, and against all odds, in fact, there's a documentary by that same name. Did you ever see that? Yeah. Against All Odds, I recommend it. If you haven't seen it before, it shows how that the hand of God was upon them in spite of that, even the day that they were declared a nation, all of the surrounding ones, Syria, Lebanon, Egypt, Jordan, they're all around the border of Israel, right, to snuff it out the very day, first day ever declaring nationhood. They didn't even have anything, hardly to defend themselves. And they defeated them. How did that happen? Impossible, but God. See, but God. And praise the Lord. So the Lord is faithful. Amen. And the same God that said that there would be Israel, in the nation, amen, that he would restore, he said that he'd have a bride of Jesus Christ without spot or blemish or wrinkle. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, amen. Satan is trying to exhaust your resources, your time, your money, your energy, your health, no time to fast and pray. And you notice what the devil is doing? He's getting everybody flustered. Everybody divided. He's doing everything he can to create mayhem and destruction and so forth. And he's done a great job deceiving the nations. And it's very difficult to convince others, especially your own loved ones, that they're deceived. Everyone ever try to talk to your loved ones and, you know, share with them Christ, share with them what God has done. Share with them what is going on around them. Mark Twain said it is easier to fool somebody than it is to convince them that they've been fooled. Yeah. But we're called to be light and to not be weary in well-doing. Amen? Praise the Lord. And regardless of what side of the fence somebody may stand on, they might be deceived. They might even be walking in more truth. Amen? But it doesn't matter how close you are to the truth. if you're not all the way into the truth. See, Satan is trying to keep you from going all the way. Amen? Amen? You know, Brother Branham makes a statement. He says, the devil doesn't care how right we are in our doctrine. If we miss that life, we miss everything. Right? I'll read it right here. It is the rising of the sun. Satan, don't care how religious you are or how right you are in your doctrine. If you miss that life, you won't come up anyhow, no matter how religious, how good, how many churches you belong to or will belong to. It doesn't matter one thing unless you've been born again. Amen. If we miss that life, we missed everything. And we can even come in and commiserate with people around us. We can identify, you know, maybe certain things and so forth. Amen. But we need to share Christ. We need to love them, regardless of what, even if they hate you, even if they're irritated at you. We have to love them regardless. Amen. So the devil is trying to attract us with trinkets and possessions and just a little more entertainment and a little more comfort. Or is that just the Schwartz household? I'm just asking. You know, it's the devil. And he's trying to place in us a fear when we hear the threats to everything that we have and own. He's trying to turn our attention to ourselves and to forget to reach out to those around us. Amen? You feel a need to get back to your fix, whatever that is. Whatever that fix is. Neglecting Christ, neglecting his body. The Lord is calling us higher. The Lord is wanting us to be mindful of him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Amen. And he will direct your path. Amen. Praise the Lord. He will direct your path. Don't be concerned about different things. The Lord told us not to. Amen. He said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for your body, what you shall put on. If it was true back there, it's all the more true nowadays. And so much of what Jesus taught, amen, was projected through the ages. And I believe in this day, that seed that he brought, that he spoke, amen, is finding ground right here, is finding soil right here to produce. Take no thought. For life is more than meat and body is more than raiment. Luke 12:24, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. Neither have they a storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much are ye better than the fowls? It's not exactly good words for a prepper. But I tell you, these are words of life. And there is words of reality. Why is it? Because the same God who said, I will restore Israel back into the land, amen, he said to take no thought. The Lord is mindful of all these things of you, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Luke 17:28, if you want to read along. Let's start with verse 28, Luke 17. Let's start with 26. Let's go back there. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Destruction. They're going by their life normally as they always did, and destruction came. Don't be surprised of what you see. It's only going to get worse, brothers and sisters. It's only going to get worse than what we're seeing now. Amen? As it was in the days of Lot. Praise the Lord. Even shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Brother Branham said concerning his ministry, he says, I am the Son of Man revealing, I am a Son of Man, excuse me, revealing the Son of Man. Amen? So shall it be in the day, in the revelation of the Son of Man. Praise the Lord. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him not, likewise not return. Amen. But look at this verse here. Remember Lot's wife. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? The Lord said, remember Lot's wife. I'll be honest, I was looking and it just, that whole thought just struck me. It struck my heart. Remember Lot's wife. Let's do that. Let's turn back to, keep your thumb right there. We're going to come right back to Luke 17. Turn to Genesis 19, if you would. And it's just a little background here. This is where the angels come to rescue Lot and his wife. So, we know back in 1820, he says, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. So he sent his angels, that's the beginning of Genesis 19, and he meets Lot in, he's of course standing right there in the gate. He greets them and so forth, and they says, well, we're just going to stay out here in the street. He says, not so, brethren, but come in with me, right? So Lot invites them into the house, and then before you know it, they are surrounded by the men of Sodom. It's just a great wickedness. That's where the word sodomy comes from. From these sodomites, they do things contrary to nature. And it's grievously wicked. And wherever you see that too, it isn't just a matter of choice of something. There's a great harm, great hurt that goes along with all of that as well. But it's also a great perversion which fights against the very nature of God. And it's wicked. Amen? So as he was going there, remember, Lot offered him his daughters. And I, to the life of me, I don't understand that. I don't understand that. Can you understand that, Brother Josh? But he says, no, we're gonna answer you. If you don't let us, we're gonna take care of you, right? So the angels grabbed him, it says, and pulled him through. They shut the door and they blinded him. And they wearied themselves trying to find the door. Amen. Let's pick it up. In verse 12, and the men said unto Lot, these are the angels, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. Verse 13, for I will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has set us to destroy it. So these are destroying angels. Amen. Verse 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his son-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you up out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Isn't that interesting? You know, and that's because he was so blended into the society there. He wasn't distinguished. He didn't have that mark of somebody who feared the Lord. It wasn't a reality to them. So when he's finally talking about the things of God, it sounds very strange to their ears. You're mocking. You know, it sounds like one that is mocking. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's read verse 15. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." And while he lingered, the men laid hold on his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto them, and brought him forth and set him without the city, outside the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, and he said, "Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape into the mountain, lest thou be consumed." Verse 18, "Not so, my lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto thee. Is it a little one? Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." And he said unto me, "See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for that which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou hast come thither." Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. Now think about that. The Lord could do nothing until the righteous was taken out of there. I could do nothing. Isn't that wonderful? The righteous will not perish with the ungodly. Praise the Lord. And the sun was risen up upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar, and the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the plains and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew up upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. The Lord told us to remember Lot's wife. Yeah. I mean, you talk about in their day, now put yourself in her place, you talk about current events. Okay? You talk about a forecast of destruction, Category 5 hurricane. You talk about current events. Something was going to happen. Never before have cities been destroyed with fire coming down from heaven, right? And not only that, they had their daughters there. Amen? Yep. Son-in-law, they had their children, their loved ones. But she was told not to look back. Isn't that something? And she turned into a pillar of salt. And what's amazing is that Lot and his daughters did not look back. You know? And that was God's mercy to them too, that they had in their heart not to do that. Maybe the mother was in front of them looking back and they saw what happened. I don't know. Maybe that is what took place, and it was, "Oh my, don't look back." Okay? I don't know. But a lot of times too, we can be fixed on things going on around us. We're not entering into the Lord, and the Spirit of God is telling us, "Enter ye in." Amen. Give yourselves wholly over to the Lord. Don't be so concerned about all this is happening around. I'm not saying we need to be ignorant, but what is occupying our time? Again, we're talking about these little foxes that spoil a vine. We're talking about what Satan does to try to rob us of our place in Christ. Amen. We're not ignorant of his devices. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Luke 17:33, if you want to turn back there. It says, and I'll move quicker here now. I've got a little bit of time here left. It says, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall preserve it. Amen. Luke 9:23 says this. He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same will find it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Amen. The Lord is telling us to not think of ourselves. Don't consider ourselves. Amen. Consider the Lord. Be brave. Be bold in your testimony. People need to hear the Lord. They need Christ.
Amen.
They need to hear that hope that comes from Him and from Him alone. That no matter what happens, that Jesus Christ said He would be with them. They need to hear that. That is the shelter that they need to hear. Amen. Praise the Lord. Luke 17:34 says, I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. One shall be taken and the other left. There shall be two women shall be grinding. One shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. One shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and they said unto him, where, Lord? And he said, wheresoever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Brother Branham said that that was the fresh word. Amen. That the eagles are gathering around. The Lord is calling his people. Amen. There is a third pole that is going on. What it is attracting the people. What is that? It's the word of God. Amen. It's the one thing that they look at and it changes them. It's the one thing that they meditate on. What happened in there? I don't know. And they walked different. They walked healed. They were healed of whatever it was that was bothering them. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Branham says, our backslidden strength that cannot meet the challenge of this hour, the denominations will not take the vindication of the word. Amen. Samson knew his backsliding conditions. He knew he didn't have strength to meet the challenge of the hour. Though he was there, all of his machinery was there, the same muscles that could take the jawbone and beat down a million Philistines, the same muscles hung on the same man, same shoulders that packed the gates of Gaza up to on top of the mountain, was still them same muscles hanging on him. Amen. He knowed that he couldn't meet the challenge of the hour. So does the church know in its immoral corruption will never meet the challenge of the hour. Communism's taking the whole thing over. How about that?
Yep, sure.
Right? And what are we trying to do? Find consolation by joining up with, listen to this, joking up with these people, denominations that don't even believe in divine healing and the power of God, won't have anything to do with this message. Amen? How can two walk together lest they be agreed? We yoke yourselves amongst stuff like that and then accept, they say, big numbers. We're getting a majority. Look at that. You hear that? Big numbers. Look, people are waking up. Big numbers. God don't notice big numbers. He looks for character. God doesn't need numbers. In fact, he discourages anyone from taking any kind of credit at all that anyone knows and recognizes that it's God and Him alone. He looks for character. Oh Lord, may He find character in us. Oh, if we could have some Samsons to rise. Oh church, not a denomination. Start another creed or ladder reign. We need the power of God. That's right. We need the power of God. Amen. You know, He talked about that car, he talked about You could have everything up, you know, car Simonized, you know the thing. Have thousands and thousands of horsepower in there, right? And you could have airplane fuel, you know, tens, thousands octane. He said, but unless a spark touches it, it might as well be water, right? You can see how dependent we are on the Spirit of God. Amen? We're absolutely dependent upon it. Zechariah 4:6 says this, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, Brother Branham says, "In modern events made clear by prophecy," and I'm wrapping this up, and I hope you're hearing what I'm trying to bring out. This is the hour's challenge to come on higher. He said, now, if you are a son of God or a daughter of God, you were in God all the time. But he knew what bed and time that you would be planted. So now you're made a creature, a son of God, manifested son or daughter of God, to meet the challenge of this hour, to vindicate the true and living God of this hour, the message that's coming forth in this time. That's right. You were done this there before the foundation of the world. In other words, you were placed, and for this very hour have you come into this world to manifest God's word. This is your calling, saints. You're called, amen, to manifest God's word for this day and this hour. You don't fear. Everything that we have need of, the Lord is absolutely going to provide. He's provided everything thus far. Amen. And he's going to finish the work. Now, praise the Lord. And I've heard I'm going to make one little point here, and then we'll wrap it up and close. You know, I hear a lot, you know, as you travel around me, you hear different things. And not that I travel around a lot, but, you know, this whole idea of the emphasis of the fivefold ministry, you know, I know it's not just press play. We know that. Amen? But I believe that the Spirit of God is even moving us beyond that point. There, God does give us these, you know, as Brother Jason called them, these ascension ministries, these ascension gifts. Amen? Like second, you know, but it's not just to the fivefold ascension gifts, okay? But it's to the body of Jesus Christ. Paul said, we preach not ourselves. Isn't that interesting? If anybody had a right to preach themselves, it would have been Paul. He had all kinds of vindication. He had all kinds of experiences with the living God. He could have preached himself. Amen. But he did not. Think about that. And he was the pattern that everything else from that time would go forth. Everything. Amen. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. See, that's a big difference. Ephesians 4:8 says, wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. That's his body. Amen. For the work of the ministry. It's also his body. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Body ministering to body. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head. See, he's always retained headship. Never has he ever forfeited headship. Amen. Some will try to take that place, but he never has forfeited that headship. So which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, listen, fit joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. In other words, member ministering to member, building them up in Christ, building, amen. Edifying itself in love. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. So, and I've often wondered that that's the reason, you know, you notice how many pastors died in COVID. The Lord took them home. Isn't that interesting? So many of them. Why is that? I believe, you know, to your point, that God is moving us on. Pastors are important. I'm not saying that another pastor didn't take their place, but if you put the emphasis in the role of a pastor, you're going to get the people just sitting there in the chair, in church, just trying to absorb what he's happening. He says, appreciate you, pastor, love you. Let him go on, and you know, you go and keep steady, keep yourself dedicated before the Lord for us, and we'll just appreciate you every Sunday. That isn't what the Lord had in mind. Amen? Amen? That's not what the Lord had in mind. I saw that, I don't know who told me this, but this one sign, they went out the door, right? Now your ministry begins. It isn't coming here, you know, we get edified, which is good. It's wonderful. Amen? But this isn't what we're called to. This is what we're built up for. This is to give us a vision. All right, but our ministry is out there. Out there is where we battle. Out there is where we fight. What we hear in the closet, he said, to proclaim it on the housetops. When he was here in his ministry, he says, don't tell anybody. Why was that? He didn't want to proclaim it through him. He wanted to proclaim it through his body. It's always been he wanted to emphasize his body. Amen. So help. May the Lord help us. Rise up higher. Rise up higher. And every one of us has got a place. If you don't, and I know we can't go in our own strength. I realize that. But let's lay in the presence of God. Let's lay there, amen. Let's let him, let us feel his unction, amen. And then let us go forth in faith, not doubting, for the glory and honor of God. Is that all right? Amen. We're called to shine forth our light. Amen. We're called for Christ to come in. We're called. This is what he said, stature perfect man. We're not building an organization. I'm not here this morning to build an organization. Christ never sent me to build organization. Christ sent me to build individuals to the stature of Jesus Christ, that they might be powerhouse in the dwelling place of the Spirit by his word. By his word, see, build up the individual to that place, not organization to a greater denomination, but build the individual to sons and daughters of God. That's the idea. Amen? That's what he's called. That's what the message is all about. Amen? Stature of a perfect man. Build each one up to the image of Christ, our place in the body of Christ. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm just going to stop right there. Amen. The Lord has called us, come higher. Amen. Be wise to that which is good, simple towards that which is evil. Keep Christ ever in our view and remember to minister to the capacity to which we're called, each and every one. Amen. Let's get out of here. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's bow our heads. Musicians, if you want to come. Heavenly Father, Lord, I believe with all of my heart, Lord, this is your desire. And your word is very clear on that. Your message is pointed out in so many ways, Father. And Lord, I pray somehow you take these insufficient words and you'd quicken it to each heart here, knowing that everyone is called to you. Everyone is called deeper. Everyone is called up higher, fuller. We can all have a fuller experience, so that you can have a fuller expression through us. Lord, fill this place up, Lord, with testimonies. Fill this place up with souls, Lord. I know that the time of revival is over. We lay in the presence of the Son. But I also know this, when that last one comes in, we're still here, Lord. When that last one comes in, it'll be over. And we are here still. Please, Lord, use us. Give us boldness. Father, let us not love this life so much that we try to preserve it. But let us forget about ourselves, our own reputations, anything about ourselves, oh God. But please, exalt yourself through us, each one, each brother, each sister, each young, an adult, one who's not even an adult, Lord, each child amongst us, Father. May that reality be in their heart. Father, watch over, draw everyone to yourself, Lord, we pray. Help us, O God. And this we ask in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. About number 91. I'm going through. Praise the Lord. Let's start with the chorus. I'm going through. Yes, I am going through. Let's stand to our feet. I'll pay the price, whatever others do. I'll take the way with the Lord's despised view. I'm going through, Jesus, I'm going through. Lord, I started to walk in the light, shining upon me from heaven so bright. Amid the world and its follies adieu, I'm started in Jesus and I'm going through. I'm going through, yes, I am going through. I'll pay the price, whatever others do. I'm going. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Don, did you want to close? Okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. The Lord is good. Amen. Praise God. Let's just sing, blessed be the tie that's bind, and we'll just go our way in the grace of God. Blessed.